I call this meeting of the House Taxes Committee to order. Our first order of business today is moving the minutes of the April 29th, 2025 meeting, going all the way back to last year. Representative Elkins, I'm sure you have a crystal clear memory of everything that happened back on April 29th. Have you reviewed the minutes?
The minutes are comprehensive, so I will move their approval.
Thank you, Representative Elkins. Is there any discussion of the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? The minutes are adopted. All right. Next, members, this is our first time back here in the 2026 session. And it's exciting. We've got a couple of new members to the committee this biennium, but they're, I think, all are returning members of the Taxes Committee. So we're going to give them an opportunity to just briefly introduce themselves. I'll just kind of work down the row here. The first is Representative Mike Howard.
Just when you know you think you're done, I'm screwing up the analogy. I was going to try to do the Godfather thing.
Right? They pull me back
they pull
in.
Me back yeah, in. Yeah, yeah. It's too early in the morning. I'm glad to be back on taxes. It's as Representative David said, it's the most fun committee. So I had a year off and glad to be back.
Great, thanks, Representative Howard. Representative Igbaje, welcome back to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you also, Co-Chair Greg Davids. I am very happy to be back. I spent most of my time with the Tax Expenditure Review Commission, but now I get to be back on the full taxes team. So thank you.
Thank you. And last but certainly not least, Representative Athena Hollins.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you, Co-Chair Davids. Happy to be here. Represent District 66B, the Northern Neighborhoods of St. Paul. And I served on property taxes in my last term, but now I'm ready for the real thing.
All right. We love it. And also, members, we've got a new CLA here on the DFL side. I want to introduce Samira Sheikh. She's going to be working with our committee this year, and we're thrilled to have her on board. Yes, Chair Davids.
I would just like to welcome the three new members. I work quite a bit with Representative Igbaje and have really appreciated that. And Ms. Sheikh, welcome to the Tax Committee. And just remember this, it's not a committee, it's an adventure.
Great. Thanks, Chair Davids. And it's good to be with you and all the other members who are returning from last year. We've got some fun ahead of us today, members. We are going to be looking at the 2025 taxes bill that passed in the special session back in June. We've got our expert nonpartisan staff ready to go to help us walk through. Oh, Chair Davids.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Yeah. I don't know if you have new DFL pages, Republican page. Maybe we could just introduce those pages.
Let's see here. We've got some pages in the room. I know some of them are waving to us over here. Do you want to just stand up briefly and introduce yourself to the committee?
Hi, I'm Sierra. I was on taxes last year. Happy to be back.
Hi, I'm Tristan. This is my first year paging. Happy to be here.
Great. All right. Well, thank you for your help in supporting the work of the committee. It takes a cast of seemingly thousands to keep us on track, Chair Davids. as I would say, we've got our, speaking of the people who keep us on track, our nonpartisan staff, we've got Mr. Williams and Mr. Clayman at the testifiers stand, ready to go and begin by walking us through Article 1 of the 2025 taxes bill. And members, I believe you've got copies of the language, the fiscal impact, and a summary of it in your packets if you want to follow along. So, Mr. Williams, take it away.
Chair Norris and members, for the record, I'm Sean Williams from House Research. Me and my colleague, Mr. Clayman, are going to walk through Article 1, which pertains to individual income and corporate franchise taxes. We're going to be broadly working from this Act summary document that's labeled Chapter 13 at the top. For the income article, because it's split between myself and Mr. Clayman, I think we're going to not go sequentially, but sort of discuss the provisions in groups based on the content of them. So sections 1, 2, and 9 of Article 1 require the Campaign Finance Board to establish an electronic filing system for the political contribution refund program. Sections 4 and 19 of Article 1 repeal the process of assignment for the Minnesota Education Credit. And then there's a series of sections that establish new individual income tax subtractions. So Section 5 and 17 pertain to situations of coarse debt. Sections 6 and 17 pertain to a consumer enforcement public compensation account that's established in Article 8 of the bill. We'll discuss that a little bit later, but it pertains to situations where individuals are basically face, there's consumer actions and money is collected on behalf of no particular individual. And that money, there's an account established in the bill to sort of provide restitution to consumers who were financially harmed. Section 7 of the bill establishes a subtraction for the employer student loan payments of certain critical access dental clinics. Section 8 of the bill establishes an income tax subtraction for foreign service pensions. And then Section 19 of the bill establishes a temporary one-time subtraction for certain stipends that were approved as part of a collective bargaining agreement between the state of Minnesota and the SEIU union. And my colleague, Mr. Klayman, is going to proceed with the rest of Article 1.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Williams. Mr. Klayman, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Going back to Section 3 of the bill was a provision related to the sustainable aviation fuel credit and how the allocation and the rollover for that credit would work. And then skipping ahead to Section 10, Sections 10 through Section 13 were the provisions that allowed the partial refundability for the research and development credit in Minnesota. Sections 14 and 15 relate to the short line railroad modernization infrastructure credit, and that contains provisions related to the application for the credit to the Department of Transportation and clarifies how the assignability provisions for the short line credit will work. Section 18 was the provision related to the correction of certain errors in designations of funds to go into an IRA retirement account. And Mr. Chair and members, that concludes our overview of Article 1.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Klayman. I see Mr. Cope coming up next. My understanding is, well, maybe I'll first pause and see if members have any questions on Article 1 before you step away from the testifier stand. Any questions, members? All right. To Mr. Cope on Articles, we'll start with Article 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Article 2 is a property tax article and made changes with respect to the state's property tax system. I'm not going to tie my comments directly to the section numbers, but happy to provide any clarification needed. So Article 2 limited the property tax exemption for charitably owned housing. It granted new property tax exemptions for certain properties owned by Indian tribes and by the Red Lake Nation College. And it modified the property tax exemption of electric distribution systems, both systems used to supply electricity to farmers and of distribution systems owned by electric utility cooperatives. Additionally, the article granted authority to local governments to award economic development abatements to land-based organizations. It extended the property tax exemption for certain property that Bloomington was holding for economic development, and it modified certain requirements regarding property tax notices to remove requirements that fiscal disparity adjustments be included on them. Article 2 also increased the amount that third-class cities could levy for musical entertainment and modified the interest rate applying to repayment plans on properties with delinquent taxes. And it modified the agricultural property tax classification. Further, it clarified the scope of housing properties subject to income limitations necessary to qualify for the 41 property tax classification, and it allowed assessors in metropolitan counties to reduce the property valuations of properties in conservation easements. And that concludes the walkthrough of Article 2, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Cope. Questions, members, on Article 2? All right, seeing none, We're going to skip ahead to Article 4, and we'll come back to Article 3 in just a bit. Mr. Cope, Article 4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Article 4 was the state aids article. This article reduced the Sustainable Forest Incentive Act payment rate and clarified withdrawal procedures for participants in the program that wished to withdraw as a result of the reduction. The article modified the distribution formula for town aid to ensure that the full amount of the town aid appropriation was expended each year. It also halved the annual appropriation for the Aquatic Invasive Species Prevention Aid and provided special legislation for the cities of Alpha, Baldwin, Odin, Stewart, and Trotsky. And that concludes the overview of Article 4, Mr. Chair.
All right. Any questions on that article? All right. Proceeding to Article 5, then, Mr. Cope.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Article 5 is the tax increment financing article. It extended the expiration of a temporary tax increment financing authority that was granted in 2021 by 1 year. It had been set to expire at the end of 2025 and now will expire at the end of 2026. The article also established and modified special tax increment financing legislation for the cities of Bloomington, Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, Eden Prairie, Edina, Maple Grove, Maplewood, Marshall, Minnetonka, Moorhead, Oakdale, Plymouth, Ramsey, St. Cloud, and St. Paul. And that concludes the Article 5 overview, Mr. Chair.
Any questions on the TIF provisions? All right. We're moving through at a rapid pace here. Thank you, Mr. Cope. I see Ms. Hagler coming up next. Ms. Hagler, I understand you're going to start with Article 3. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Article 3.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I'll first walk through Article 3, which is the sales tax and excise tax article. Sections 1 and 2 refer to the June accelerated payment requirement that requires vendors with an annual tax liability of $250,000 or more that they remit a portion of their tax liability for June before the end of June, whereas typically they would be the following month. Section 2 imposes the penalty for any underpayments, and both sections are effective June 2027. Section 3 increased the gross receipts tax that's imposed on the sale of cannabis products from 10% to 15%, and that went into effect this past July 1. Section 4 repealed the electricity portion of the exemption for data centers, and that also took effect last July. Section 5 was a credit or provision related to breweries and allowed brewers that qualify for the brewer tax credit to file their alcohol excise tax returns annually without notifying DOR of the intent to do so. Mr. Chair, that is Article 3.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Hagler. Questions on the sales and use taxes provisions? All right, seeing none, on to Article 6, please.
Mr. Chair and members, Article 6 is a short local sales tax article that provides two provisions relating to the existing local sales tax in the city of Hermantown, and it authorized the city to use their tax revenue for multiple sewer lines and pump station projects rather than just one project, and it extended the expiration for an additional 10 years. And that is Article 6.
Thank you. Any questions, members? All right, moving on to Article 7.
Article 7, Mr. Chair and members, was the public finance article that modified provisions regarding local government financing projects and allocation of tax-exempt bonds. And I think that is all I will say about that.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Hagler. Any questions on the public finance section? All right. Thank you, Ms. Hagler. We've got Mr. Williams coming back up to cover Articles 8 through 11 for us.
Chair Norris and members, Article 8 is the miscellaneous article, so I'll be going through the provisions in that article. Sections 1 through 7 and Section 12 of Article 8 pertain to the Tax Expenditure Review Commission. There's some changes to the Commission's process, and also it repeals the requirement that bills establishing and renewing tax expenditures include statements of objective. Those will now be transmitted to the chairs of the TURC by the chairs of the House and Senate Tax Committee. Sections 8 through 10 are the consumer protection restitution account language that I described earlier. Section 11 pertains to the State Agricultural Society bonding authority. It increases the bonding authority limit. Sections 13 through 15 pertain to property tax refund certificates of rent paid. This establishes a new penalty for not providing a copy of certificates of rent paid to the Department of Revenue, but it reduces the penalty for not giving a certificate of rent paid to the renter. Those were a governor's recommendation from last year. Section 16 establishes a permanent credit rate for the provider tax or for the research credit under the provider tax. Previously, that was a forecasted rate that was calculated annually. Section 17 pertains to pharmacy refunds and the timing of those pharmacy refunds paid under the Legend drug tax. Sections 18 and 20 are just conforming changes, repealing some accounts pertaining to the elimination of the cannabis aid program, the local government cannabis aid program. Sections 19 and 22 are language repealing the controlled substances tax. And then section 21 extends the availability of a grant to Minneapolis from the 2023 tax bill. And Chair Norris and members, that concludes the discussion of Article 8.
Questions on Article 8? Seeing none, we'll move on to Article 9, please.
Chair Norris and members, Articles 9, 10, and 11 are the Department of Revenue's policy and technical bill from 2025. So unless there's interest in particular provisions of that, we're not going to walk through that in detail.
Great. Any questions on those sections, members? All right. Thank you, Mr. Williams, and the whole team for walking us through the summary of the bill. We're now going to invite our fiscal analysts, Ms. Templin and Ms. Highmark, to walk us through the fiscal summary of the bill that should be in your packets as well. And I believe we're starting with Ms. Templin. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Please proceed.
Good morning. My name is Cynthia Templin, and I'm a fiscal analyst from the Nonpartisan House Fiscal Analysis Department. We've just heard a high-level summary of tax provisions that were enacted last session. Next, my colleague, Katrina Highmark, and I will discuss at a very high level and very briefly the enacted provisions that had a fiscal impact. While the focus of our presentation is to provide a high-level overview, please know that if you want to dig deeper, we have included a detailed spreadsheet on the following pages of a handout that you have. So the structure of our presentation is on the first page of your handout. You can see that we have a summary of what was enacted and the fiscal impact, and it's divided into two sections. There, both sections show the fiscal impact to the general fund. I will be covering Section A, and Section A shows the major enacted provisions that changed tax laws that had a fiscal impact that either had a net revenue increase or a net decrease in tax revenues. Section A does not show any appropriations. My colleague, Ms. Highmark, will be covering Section B, which covers the appropriation side of the spreadsheet. So in Section A, you'll see three chunks, if you will. The first chunk shows revenue reductions, and these are the largest revenue reductions relative to the other tax law changes in Chapter 13 that were enacted that have the largest revenue reduction or cost. So as you can see, there is the R&D refundable tax credit was modified. This is a capped refundable credit, and it is ongoing. And this has an estimated fiscal impact of $40.8 million in 26 and 28 and $39.6 million in the 28-29 biennium. There's also a new foreign service worker pay subtraction, and this provision is estimated to have a fiscal impact of $20,000 in each biennia. The total cost of the provisions that reduced revenues is at $40.82 million in fiscal 26 and 27 and $39.6 million in 28 and 29. Now, the next two sections of Section A show revenue increases, and these increases offset the tax reductions that we just reviewed. The first provision that had a net increase to the general fund is qualified data centers. There was a repeal of the exemption of the upfront exemption to data centers enacted in this bill, and this is estimated to have a revenue increase of $56.25 million in the fiscal 26 and 27 biennium, and $82.7 million in the 28-29 biennium. I should also mention that there was also data center legislation enacted in another act in the special session, and that act had a zero impact to the general fund. And it's not reflected on this spreadsheet, but I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that. The next provision, sales tax provision, that increases revenue is the June acceleration shift. And this is a shift of 5.6% that will take place in June 2027. This is estimated to raise $22.820 million in fiscal 26 and 27, and just over $1 million in the planning years. And the other sales tax provisions are just interaction cost, and so the total estimated general fund revenue increase of all the sales tax provisions that increased revenues is $77.27 million in fiscal 26 and 27, and $80.65 million in 28 and 29. And then finally, the third section under Section A is also a section that shows revenue increases, and this is to the cannabis gross receipts tax. Two things were enacted that have fiscal impact. The first is a rate increase from 10% to 15%. This has an estimated revenue increase of $52.8 million in the fiscal 26-27 biennium and $94.9 million in the tails. In addition to that, the cannabis gross receipts tax had a 20% dedication to local governments in the form of aid. And in Chapter 13, that dedication was repealed. So that dedication, instead of going to local governments, is deposited into the general fund. And that is estimated to have a revenue increase of $23.7 million in 26 and 27, and $40.9 million in 28 and 29. The total revenue increase for cannabis gross receipts tax you can see on the spreadsheet. And that brings me to the total state tax revenue estimated enacted changes. In the middle of the page, it shows $112.950 million in fiscal 26 and 27 and $176.850 million in fiscal 28 and 29. And that concludes Section A of the summary.
Thank you, Ms. Templin. Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just real quickly on the data center revenue, is that because of the sales tax exemption repeal, in the outliers, is that more predicted ones coming online?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hewitt, the revenue impact that you see in the summary sheet is for the exemption of the repeal of the upfront electricity exemption only.
Any other questions from members on this portion of the fiscal summary? All right, next to Ms. Highmark.
Mr. Chair, members, good morning. My name is Katrina Heinmark. I am the other fiscal analyst that staffs the taxes committee. My portion of this committee and of this spreadsheet will focus on the property tax aids and credits items. As my colleague, Ms. Templin, said, the expenditure side or the appropriation side of the spreadsheet. So if you would like more detail about the specific enacted provisions, you can see them starting on page 7 of the document in your packet. This, again, is a high-level overview, so I'll just be focusing on the provisions that had a fiscal impact, and some of them are grouped together. So if you would like more information about specific provisions, happy to talk about those. I want to highlight that the signs on this portion of the spreadsheet flip, and so positive numbers here are expenditures, and negative numbers are cost savings to the general fund. Again, these are provisions that impact the general fund. Starting with the first section, we have several provisions that modified property tax provisions as well as refunds paid to property owners. The first on the spreadsheet is the electric cooperative distribution lines exemption, also known as the attachments and appurtenances exemption. That has a cost in fiscal 26 and 27 of $40,000 and $80,000 in fiscal 28 and 29. There were four tribal nation properties that received an exemption in Chapter 13. Those have a fiscal impact of one time in fiscal 26 and 27 of $122,000 and an ongoing fiscal impact of $20,000 in fiscal 28 and 29. There was also an exemption for Bloomington Port Authority for $20,000 in fiscal 26 and 27 and $40,000 ongoing in fiscal 28 and 29. Also, land banks were given a property tax abatement starting with a cost of $10,000 in fiscal 26 and 27, $30,000 in fiscal 28 and 29. There was a modification pertaining to Alliance Housing, which had a fiscal impact of $10,000 in fiscal 26 and 27, $20,000 in fiscal 28 and 29. I'm going to skip over the aquatic invasive species interaction and move to the sustainable forest incentive payments, which are payments to owners of forested lands. That program is receiving a 10% reduction in those payments starting in fiscal 28 and 29, which has an impact of a cost savings of $3.77 million. There are also several miscellaneous property tax modifications that my colleague Justin Cope highlighted, and those have negligible or zero fiscal impact. So the subtotal for the property tax refunds portion of Chapter 13 in fiscal 26 and 27, we have a cost of $202,000 and a net savings in fiscal 28 and 29 of $3.28 million. Moving on to local aids, the aquatic invasive species prevention aid was reduced by 50%. This program has an annual appropriation of $10 million. This 50% reduction starts in fiscal 28, so that over the biennium would be a total cost savings of $10 million to the general fund. There were also LGA penalty forgiveness provisions that had a cost of $106,000 in fiscal 26 and 27, and several provisions related to miscellaneous aids and grants with a total net cost in fiscal 26 and 27 of $106,000 and a total net savings of $10 million in fiscal 28 and 29. The aquatic invasive species aid reduction also has an interaction with property tax refunds, which are listed in the prior section, and that has a cost ongoing of increased payments in property tax refunds of $300,000. Moving on to the final section, as my colleague Ms. Templin highlighted, their dedication of the cannabis gross receipts tax of 20% to the special revenue funds for local government cannabis aid was repealed in Chapter 13, and so that account was closed, that program was closed. The closing of that program is reflected in the portion that my colleague Ms. Templin spoke about. However, there was money in that account that needed to be transferred back into the general fund. So we see that reflected with a cost savings of $5.042 million in fiscal 26 and 27. To summarize, the total changes for property taxes, aids, and credits was $4.374 million in fiscal 26 and 27 and $13.28 million in fiscal 28 and 29. And if you look on the next line, there's a total that reflects the net savings and net revenue gain from Chapter 13 of $111.684 million in fiscal 26 and 27 and $190.13 million in fiscal 28 and 29. And that, Mr. Chair, concludes my portion of the presentation.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Highmark. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you to our testifiers. Always appreciate your great work. So over the summer, I think, at some point, I wanted to know sort of what the net overall tax and fee increases were for this bill last year. And the number, if I don't have it with me, it's somewhere in my office. But generally speaking, it was like in the current biennium, it was $325 million increase. And in the out years, it was like $725, roughly $1 billion over the four-year cycle for taxes and fee increases. So I get maybe we haven't run through the fee increases here, but this does not reflect those same numbers that I have in my head. So could you just help me understand how this squares with the tax and fee increases? Because I'm struggling with that.
Ms. Templin?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative Robbins. Yes, what you see is the summary that we provided reflects the tax changes in Chapter 13 only. In addition, there were other fee changes, assessment changes, surcharges, penalties enacted in the 2025 special session as well. And those increases that also increased revenues to the general fund and to other non-general fund accounts are not reflected in this summary.
Okay. So both things are true.
Representative Robbins.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Just so I have it in my head. Like, this is just a portion of what happened, and the other analysis is also relevant. Okay,
that's great.
Ms. Templin. All right. Any other questions from members on the property tax or just in general on the fiscal summary? All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. So that, members, is a summary of our 2025 taxes bill. Chair Davids, I know you have a tradition of naming the tax bills, and I should remember this. I'm ashamed that I don't, but can you remind, what was the song of associated with this?
Oh, my gosh. I'm having a scene moment. It was a Beatles song.
We can work it out. There we go. All right. And, we can work it out, tax bill, everyone.
And Mr. Chairman, we did.
We did. This is proof
because
right here.
I can just remember the first one in 2011 was a smoking hot tax bill.
Yes.
And, of course, that was not a song, but that was named after my wife, of course, obviously. So that was the first one. Then all the rest have been songs since then. So I'll put together a list for everything.
That would be helpful. That would
be helpful.
Yeah.
And be thinking about names for this year's tax bill. Are we wrapping up?
So if you want to walk us through a preview of coming attractions.
Yes. And again, I welcome the three new committee members and the committee legislative assistant. Chair Norris, thanks for your work today. Appreciate it. And I want to thank Chair Gomez. Everything we went over here was put together by this committee. With the help of Chair Gomez, Senator Rest over in the Senate, and some people said it couldn't be done. I said, you just watch. We will get this done, and we did. I've agreed to hear the governor's bill when that comes forward. That can be on my day unless Chair Gomez wants it on her day. We do need to hear the governor's bill. And Commissioner Marquardt has, I think, some very, very good ideas he wants to move forward. So. Some have said, oh, you won't have an even year tax bill. You're not going to have a tax bill. That's not the attitude that I'm coming at it with. I want to go full bore ahead. There's things that our cities, our counties need, and I think we need to hear those and do everything we can for them. So with that, like I said, we will hear the governor's bill. Our next meeting is tomorrow, and We have the House Research and House Fiscal overview of basically conformity. And I want to thank House Fiscal and House Research today for that information. I think it's good to get this as kind of a base as to where we're heading here from now. And then we're going to hear a bill that I support, House File 387 Norris, Blaine's certain special tax imposition. Am I on that bill? Jennifer, am I on
I'm
that bill?
I'm not sure if you are, Chair Davids. We'll find out. There's room. You're always welcome to join.
Okay, I'll get on 387. Right. That'd be awesome. Great. So with that, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow, too.
Great. Thank you, Chair Davids. Anything else? All right, seeing none. Thanks for a great first meeting of the 2026 session. And with that, we are adjourned. Thanks, members.